Open God's word this afternoon. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we find ourselves yet again in this thy house of worship in this afternoon hour with a thankfulness in our hearts, dear Father, for this opportunity where we can gather together with those of this like precious faith that we all share. Father, we are truly a blessed people, and we find ourselves sadly oftentimes taking these opportunities for granted. But Father, we pray that thou would be with us this afternoon. Help us, dear Father, to focus on thy word, to focus on what thou wouldst have for us, dear Father. And we hope and pray that we would, with thy help, be able to live for thee every day of our lives and never lack in anything, dear Father. Anything that we are lacking of, dear Father, we pray that thou would help us to have victory over and to live only for thee and never for ourselves. For this we do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. With God's help, in this afternoon hour, I'd like to turn and read from the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4. The first 11 verses. Matthew chapter 4, the first 11 verses.
Sveto Evangelje po Mateju, četvrta glava, prvih 11 stihova.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. May God bless the reading of his holy word, and may the devil comes to each and every one of us individually, and he tempts us. He gets into our minds, and he tries to get us to entertain the thought of doing some wicked thing, or even in some cases to do a certain wicked thing. We all suffer this. We all go through this. Every one of us, everyone in this world goes through the temptations from the devil. None of us are exempt from the devil's temptations. And it is a thought that I believe has gone through each and every one of our minds at some point where we think that God doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't understand the struggle I'm having. He doesn't understand my weakness. We are tempted, also a temptation of the devil, to think that God doesn't know what I'm going through. But we can be comforted that Jesus, our Savior, knows exactly what we are going through at each and every moment of our lives. He is with us. He is providing us the strength that we need daily to live according to his will. God will never let us be tempted with anything that is too much for us, but he will always provide to us, the Bible says, a way of escape. And these temptations we know personally also, that they never stop. Temptations do not stop after our baptism. If anything, they only get stronger because the devil knows we have repented, we have declared that we desire to serve Jesus, and the temptations will only get stronger. Because the devil would love to see a servant of God fall and fail. And Jesus here himself was tempted also after his baptism. A few verses before in the previous chapter, it speaks of Jesus' baptism. And immediately after he was baptized, Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted. And it's interesting here in the first verse of chapter 4 that we read, this says Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit led Jesus. It was God's will that he would be tempted. God will never tempt, personally never tempt any of us. God tempts no man, we read in the Bible. But God wants us to go through temptations that we would emerge victorious. And when we emerge victorious from temptation, then God is honored and God is glorified through our victorious life in Christ. When we live a victorious life over sin, then God is glorified. So as you read here, Jesus is tempted. We're led up into the wilderness to be tempted, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterward and hungered. And that's said very simply here in the second verse, he was hungry. How much of an understatement that must be. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. He was at a very weak state. His flesh was weak from not eating, of course. So it was at man's physically weakest point that Jesus was tempted. And the tempter, we know the devil is the tempter, came to him and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And on the surface of this, we may think that, how can that be that bad of a sin, to command that a stone be made bread? How is that even a sin? We can even think that we can't relate to that. How can we relate to a temptation to make stones into bread? And even the second temptation, where the devil leads Jesus up and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and tells him to cast himself down. We can even think, how is that a sin? How would it be a sin to cast himself down? And the third temptation, I think we all understand how wicked of a temptation this was. The devil's telling Jesus, "Bow down and worship me, and I will give you all these kingdoms of this world." We can recognize that for what it is, worshiping the devil. But all three temptations that the devil presented are actually very similar. They all have a similar theme. Jesus is being tempted here three times in three different ways to serve himself, to do the things that he would want to do, to serve his flesh and not others. The way of God is a way of service. Whenever Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, he said, "It's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." The attitude of servant, of service. That's the greatest commandment, because if we love God, truly love God, and we truly love our neighbor, we will never do anything wrong against them. It's not possible to do something against God if we love him fully, if we truly love him. So Jesus is being tempted here to serve self. And all sin, really, that we are tempted with daily, that can all be boiled down into one thing, and that's serving self. The devil tempts us all in many different ways to serve self. So Jesus here, after 40 days and 40 nights having fasted, the devil tempts him to make stones into bread, to serve himself. Jesus was put in that weak state purposefully to show that it is possible to be victorious over sin when we are at our weakest. He was purposely put in that state of weakness, hunger. And the devil is telling him, take the easy road out. Feed your flesh. Don't be hungry anymore. Take and serve and make these stones into bread for your flesh. And Jesus, of course, has the perfect answer, where he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That is our life giver, our life sustainer is the word of God. And the word of God is the bread that we need for our flesh. When we pray and we ask the Lord, "Give us, Lord, our daily bread," we are asking for him, his son. Jesus is the bread of life. When we take of him, we will never hunger. So again, this first temptation is serving self. And the second temptation, also very similar, says to cast himself down from the temple. If Jesus did this, if he cast himself down from the temple, there would be certainly people waiting for him at the bottom. And if he cast himself down, and the angels, as the devil said, the angels are going to catch you. If Jesus did that, and the angels did catch him, people would be amazed. They would be amazed, but for all the wrong reasons. Because Jesus would hear, in giving in to this temptation, which we know he didn't, but if he did, he would be glorifying himself, giving himself some kind of glory. We know that that was never Jesus' way. His way was never a way of self-glory, self-righteousness. No, his way was a way of self-denial, a way of giving his Father the honor and the glory that he knew his Father was worthy of. And then in return, because Jesus is so obedient, his Father also gives his Son all the glory that he knows he is worthy of. It's a perfect relationship between the Father and the Son. God the Father glorifies Jesus, his Son, because he knows he is worthy. And then Jesus returns that glory also to the Father because he also is worthy. So Jesus did not give in to this temptation to make himself known that he is something, because that would be for the wrong reasons. Just as when Jesus healed people, he often told the person that was healed, don't go around and spread this word that you were healed. Because then people would follow Jesus for all the wrong reasons. They wouldn't follow him out of a spiritual hunger, a spiritual thirst, but they would follow him because of a fleshly reason, not anything spiritual. So Jesus also did not give in to this temptation. And again, he had the perfect response where he said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil knew who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus claimed to be. And he saw Jesus in the flesh. He saw Jesus in the flesh on this earth, and he thought he could have victory over him. He saw Jesus as just a man, and the devil knows how man is. He knows our hearts. He knows how weak we are. He knows how many wicked thoughts he can try to put into our minds. He knows who we are better than we know ourselves. And he saw Jesus in this weak state as taking on the flesh of a man. He thought it would be easy, perhaps, to get Jesus to sin. But Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He is saying, I am your God. He's telling the devil, you have no power over me. At no time did Jesus deny his divinity. He was God, and he was to be worshipped as God. And he's telling the devil, you can't tempt me. I am your God. And how much, it's not recorded here, the response, maybe there was none, but we can just imagine the thought that was running through the devil's mind at that point of how much it must have hurt him, how much it must have angered him, Jesus' response to him, to not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the last temptation is he takes Jesus into an exceeding high mountain and he shows unto him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. For there is a glory of this world that God has created. And the devil says, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And the devil here wasn't lying. He really could give him all these kingdoms of this world. At the fall of man in the garden, the devil took control of this world. He has dominion over this world. And it was his to give. It was his to give Jesus. But Jesus knows, of course, that ultimately one day all things will be given unto him. He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when the trump will sound, as we heard recently in a message. When the trump will sound, all things will be made right. All things will be made new. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. And Jesus will live and reign with us if we but remain faithful unto him. So this temptation really had no effect on Jesus because he knows now that he is rightfully deserving of everything. He is the heir of all things. And Jesus understood that this life that he lived in the flesh was only temporary. It was only temporary, and then afterward he would be glorified. Jesus here is never giving in to the temptation to serve self. All three of these temptations were to serve self, and Jesus never gave in to that. And this is a perfect pattern, a perfect example for us when we are tempted to serve self. Whether we are tempted with lust, whether we are tempted with coveting something that is our neighbor's, whether we are tempted with a substance, whatever it may be, all that boils down to serving self, not giving God the glory that he is worthy of. But Jesus here had victory over the devil because he thought spiritually. He had spiritual thoughts running through his mind. He could quote scripture when he was tempted. He had the perfect response right away from the scriptures to point out how the devil was wrong, how his approach was wrong, how his temptations were evil. He had the right response. And how perfect of a pattern that is for us too. When the devil tempts us to do something that we know we shouldn't, when he tempts us to serve self, if we know the scriptures, we know what God's word instructs us to do, we can turn it right. We can turn that temptation right back on the devil's head, and we can say, no, I'm not going to do that because I love my Lord. I love my Lord far more than I love myself. Self-love, love for self must die, must be crucified if we are to have victory. And Jesus did live that victorious life because it was never about himself. Nothing he did was for self. So who are we then to think that we will be removed from temptations? Who are we then to think that we don't deserve maybe to go through some temptations? Even the brother mentioned the prayer that we are to be expecting that as well. Jesus himself, the Son of God, who took on flesh, was tempted in the wilderness. Who are we then to think that we won't? The Bible says that all those who live faithful lives must suffer persecution. We will go through some trials, some temptations at some point. Each and every one of us will. And I believe, as Apostle Paul, I'm not 100% sure, but it says that know that when you are tempted, that these same temptations are being offered to all your brethren all over the world. These temptations that we go through, we can be sure that God knows exactly what we are feeling. He knows exactly the internal struggle that we have. And we can be sure that our brothers and sisters everywhere in the face of the earth know that exact feeling because they go through it as well. None of us are exempt from this. None of us have reached some level of holiness where we won't get tempted anymore. The temptations never stop while we are in this flesh. And after the final temptation, it says the devil left Jesus, and angels came and they ministered unto Jesus. They served him. Maybe he was fed, we don't know, it's not recorded here, but his flesh was probably in some way strengthened. God had brought him through that temptation. He had helped him to be victorious through that temptation. Then he came and ministered unto him. The angels came and ministered unto him, served him, helped him to be strong again. And this is what God does for us as well. When we go through a spiritual battle against the devil, and it's hard. It's very hard for us at times. And we pray to God, and if we have this mind of Christ in us, we're not interested in serving ourselves, and we have that victory with his help. Afterwards, we feel a relief. We feel the devil when he leaves us. I believe we all know that feeling when he leaves our mind. The thoughts are not in our minds anymore because we have had victory over him. We have told the devil, get behind me, Satan. You can have no power over me because I am in Christ. God will always strengthen us again and prepare us for the next battle. For the next battle will come. Just because we have victory in one battle does not mean the next battle will not come. We know of a certainty that it will. The next battle will always come while we are in this flesh, but we have to be ready for it. It's been mentioned recently in a few sermons the importance of having the whole armor of God on us. The devil loves to seek those cracks in our armor, loves to find that one spot where maybe we aren't thinking spiritually, that one spot where maybe we're thinking too much about ourselves. He loves to find that one spot, and he tailor makes that temptation for us specifically, knowing where we are the most weak. He will always find that crack in our armor if it is there. Let's pray to God and take on that whole armor of God and be able to resist him, be able to resist the devil and all his wicked temptations that we go through each and every day. The process that we go through in conversion, when we first learn how to be victorious over temptation, that process follows us throughout our whole lives. There will never be a point where the process of prayer and crying for and asking for pleading for help and strength, there'll never be a time when that process does not work. It works when we are first converted, when we are first resisting the devil. We all have gone through temptations where we have given in easily. We've had no desire to have victory. But with God's help, there comes a time where we start to resist. We start to resist against the devil. We start to tell him, we don't want your ways, devil. We want the ways of God. And the victory we know comes through prayer, only through prayer and self-denial. And that pattern follows us throughout our whole lives. The process of praying to him and asking for strength, it's very simple, but it always works. God promises us that. He promises us that we will have the victory over temptation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only through Jesus Christ our Lord will the victory come. It will never come by ourselves. It will never come when we want to serve self. Victory will never come that way. I believe, again, we have all experienced that. In our unconverted and converted lives, we've all had that experience where we have failed. We have failed the Lord our God, and we have cried to him, and we have wept tears of sorrow and repentance because of the things that we have done, because we have served self. There was that one time where there was that crack in our armor where we were not on our guard, and the devil loves to take advantage of that. So Jesus himself, right after he was baptized, was tempted. We can believe and expect that same temptation is going to come our way. Whether we call ourselves Christians, whether we're baptized or not, whether we go to this church or any other church, the temptations are going to come. None of us is exempt from that. But thanks be to God, the Bible says, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory will come, again, only when self is not in the forefront of our mind. It is my prayer that as we examine God's word in this day, we've heard a practical message in this morning of our speech and how the tongue no man can tame. A very practical message. This afternoon hour as well, we're being exhorted by the Lord our God to put on that armor, to put on that armor, to have victory, to resist the devil. The Bible teaches us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us, just as he here fled from Jesus, only to return again, of course, another time. And that's what the devil does to us as well. He will forsake us, he will leave us, but he will return again another time. May God give us all in the day of battle, the day of spiritual battle, may he give us the strength, the will to submit to him, and the victory. God promises that the victory will be ours. May he bless this word in our hearts this afternoon and in this day, and may we continue with his help to love him and serve him as long as we live. Amen.